Good evening. Boy, it's always a pleasure to be able to come together and to worship our God. You know, we should never take for granted the opportunity that He give us to worship Him and serve Him. You know, every day, you know, we should be mindful of His mercy and His grace. You know, it's one of the things that I would like to talk about this evening. You know, one of the blessings we have is being a child of God. You know, have you ever just really examined what that means? Have you ever just thought about it, that we are children of the Creator, the one who created everything? We are His children. That makes us special. You know, there are times we walk around, and sometimes we walk around with sad faces, and you know, we walk around complaining and all that. We should always walk around with our head up high and walk around proud and, you know, be glad to let people know who we are. I mean, that should be the enthusiasm that we have as being a Christian. You know, and one of the things that that I wanted to talk about this afternoon is I want to talk about the blessings we have as being Christians. And along with those blessings, you know, it comes responsibility. You know, there are some responsibilities that we have as well. But I want to highlight the blessings. You know, it's truly a blessing. You know, we're blessed beyond measure, beyond comprehension. You know, and one of the things that we should scripture we should think about when we think about those blessings is Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, where it says, "Blessed be the God of our Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." The scripture says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. He didn't make us have to wait for it. We didn't have to work hard for it. You know, it was a blessing. You know, and the Bible tells us that this blessing was a gift. You know, I think about that when I think about being thoroughly equipped and ready. You know, a baby snake, when a snake, baby snake is born, or a poisonous snake, don't you know that little baby is already, you know, equipped with enough venom to take care of itself? God has made sure that we have enough spiritual, the spiritual things that we need to take care of ourselves as being Christians. And that's truly a blessing that God has, you know, thought of us that much to make sure that we're already prepared and equipped. You know, the Bible goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God." You know, Paul wrote to the Colossian church, and he wrote these words. He said, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." You know, as Christians, we are complete in Christ, not only positionally, but we are also complete sufficiently, blessed with heavenly resources for spiritual growth and maturity. God made sure that we had everything we need to grow and mature in him. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "And as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." One of the other things, the blessings that we have in Christ, is we have peace with God. We have peace with God. There's no longer enmity between us and God because of sin. You know, sin can cause us to be enemies with God. And that's one thing that we don't want. You know, the Bible, I remember reading something somewhere along the line that says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Well, I tell you, I don't want to be his enemy. You know, definitely don't want to be his enemy. But he has given us an opportunity to be called his children, special people. You know, Jesus say, I call you friends. You know, you're no longer strangers or foreigners. I call you friends. In other words, you're close to me now. You know, and that's a good feeling to know that we're close to God and we're close to Christ. You know, I'm looking for a scripture in the book of James, and I believe it's around chapter 4, maybe around verse 4, but let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, that's it. In James chapter 4, verse 4, James wrote, he said, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity to God, with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, that's telling me that if I put worldly things above God, that could cause me to be an enemy. If I put myself above God, that can cause me to be an enemy. If I love anything more than I love God, that can cause me to be an enemy. That's something to think about. You know, when we going about our way, doing the things that we do, we think the way we think, our attitudes and all that, it should make us think about that. You know, am I putting God out the picture to satisfy myself? Am I taking God out of the picture to be in my comfort zone? You know, what am I really doing here? Am I staying close to God by the things that I do? Because I do not want to become his enemy by no ways, no means possible. Would I, you know, deliberately allow myself to do that, knowing that he hates those things. He dislikes that. And I don't want to do anything to upset him. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said something to his apostles and those that were listening to him at the time the time when he was here on earth. He says something in John chapter 14, around verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, he said, if you abide in him, in this paraphrase, if we abide in Christ, we have peace in him. You know, not only that peace that no longer cause us to be enemies with God, but we have a peace of knowing that we have a blessing from God through Christ. That strength that Paul talked about when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That strength, that spiritual strength that we need at the time when we're going through something in life, when we're going through our medical issues, when we're going through those times in the hospital, when we're going through those family matters and the wayward child or that prodigal son or daughter or whatever it might be, we know that Christ is there. That peace that he gives can fill my heart at that time. And I can feel that joy of knowing that he is there. That everything is going to be all right because of him. That kind of peace. And Jesus said, I leave that with you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Another blessing we have is the privilege of prayer. We all know that prayer is talking to God, communicating with God, We should not be afraid to talk to God. You know, there are times, and I find myself guilty of this sometimes too. You know, when I want to structure my prayer, I want my prayer to be just perfect and neat, and you know, and I want it to sound good and all of that. But sometimes, you know, that's not how my heart is at the time. Right now, I'm going through something. I'm dealing with something. I can't make my words pretty right now. You know, it's hard sometimes to express how I really want to communicate with God. But I think about, you know, the privilege that he's given me to be able to talk to him when I'm going through some things, when I'm dealing with some stuff, that I can talk to him. You know, think about those times when you're by yourself and you don't have a friend or a relative or a spouse or somebody you can talk to at that time, and you just need somebody to talk to. Maybe it'd be some bad news you just heard, or maybe it's some pains and aches you're going through at the time, or maybe it's, you know, whatever issue it might be at the time, but you just need somebody to talk to. You need to release, you know. God is there. God is there. And not only is he there, he understands. And he knows. And he knows. And his gentleness, the gentleness of his love and his compassion, puts us at ease in knowing that everything's going to be all right because I had a little talk with Jesus. There are some times when we have an urge to seek God's blessing. And I know some of you, just like me, there are times when people come to you and they'll say, pray for me. Will you pray for me? Will you pray for my family? Will you pray for my kids? Will you do this? Will you do this? No, pray for me. Pray for me. And that was a time in the Old Testament when that was something that it had to be. You know, there was the high priest, and it was the high priest who went behind the veil in the Holy of the Holies to communicate to God for the people. He was their mediator. But thanks to Christ, oh, that veil is not there anymore. We no longer have to go through somebody else to talk to God. We have direct communication and a direct communication line to him. And we can talk to him any time of the day about anything on our heart. Anything. It's nothing you can say to him that he don't already know anyway. But sometimes he just want to have a little talk with you. Sometimes he just want to hear from you. How many times do we present ourselves to God in that manner in communication, just talking to him? You know, not only just thanking him for his blessings, but, you know, just a lot of times we go to God when we want to ask for help. When things are not going so good, or we want something to happen to go a little bit better than what it is. We want his help. But there are times when we just need to talk to him and say, God, thank you. Just thank you for allowing me to be where I am and who I am. And thank you for being who you are to me. You know, just thank you. Thank you for my family. Thank you for all the blessings that you give me. You know, forgive me if I take your blessings for granted. Forgive me if I don't acknowledge your blessings all the time. Lord, just thank you. Thank you. Sometimes there'll be some thanksgiving in our heart sometimes, as opposed to waiting until something happens, the way I have to go to him and ask for his help. You know? But I tell you, you know, God not only made a way for us to have a direct line of communication with him. Like I mentioned earlier, sometimes, you know, just think about a situation like this. And I pray, God, that this is not happening with anyone or we know of anyone this is happening to. But just think if one of God's children are in a hospital and you might be on one of those respirators or something, or they might have some tubes down your throat or whatever, and you want to talk to them, but you can't talk because your mouth is full of stuff, and you just can't get no words out at that time. You know, God put something in place for that too. In John, in 1 John, let me I'm trying to get my scriptures together. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also help in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we are. But the Spirit himself make an intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But that's not the scripture I want. I want Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Because that's the scripture that lets us know that God understands us and our needs when we go to him in prayer. Romans 8 and 27. The Bible says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So that time when you can't speak, you can't get those words out, you can't do, the Holy Spirit searches our heart and he takes our prayers up to God from the heart. So those times, God made a way. God made a way. In verse 26, when it says that the Spirit make an intercession for us that cannot be uttered. In other words, God says, okay, now I appreciate our communication, but he made a way that it can get to him in a more excellent way. So we can be assured that no matter how we pray, if we pray sincerely from the heart, the Holy Spirit is going to take it up to God in a way that is perfect and righteous. It's perfect and righteous. And we know that God hears children. But we thank God for allowing the Holy Spirit to make intercessions for us in our prayers. That's a privilege. Well, we have something in God that the world don't know, and they are missing out. They don't know what they're missing. Oh, they have no idea. Another blessing that we have in being a Christian, a child of God, is family. Family. You know, I was just talking to a brother just a minute ago about how family is. You know, he was let me know how family reached out to him when he was going through his medical issues. The phone calls, the texts, you know. We as family in Christ, the unity that we share, the love that we share, the compassion we share with one another is you can't put a value on it. You can't put a value on it. Just knowing that somebody is there who cares is enough. That's a powerful thought. Just knowing that I have somebody I can confide in. I have somebody that's going to uplift me. I have somebody that's going to help me get through this. I have somebody that I can rejoice with. Just knowing the beauty of family. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should treat each other like family, because we are family. We are family. And we shouldn't treat each other like strangers and foreigners. You know, there was a time when I first obeyed the gospel that I would take one Sunday out of every month, and it was around the fourth Sunday of every month, I would go and visit a different congregation. in the Church of Christ. Because I wanted to get to know and meet as many brothers and sisters in Christ as I possibly could. And so I started doing that. That's what I did. Every month I would go visit a different congregation. And that thought kind of spilled over, you know, and wanting to know and meet many of my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we sometimes in congregations and we come in contact with our brothers and sisters, you know, in our own congregation, like here at the Meadow. You know, I want to propose a challenge to myself and to you as well. You know, today you met and greet certain people in the congregation today. How about next Sunday? Next Sunday, why don't you meet and greet somebody that you didn't meet and greet today? Why don't you do that next Sunday? And the Sunday after that, why don't you meet and greet somebody else that you didn't meet and greet on the next Sunday? Get to know them. Introduce yourself. Get to know each other. Because we all on this journey together. We all on this road together. We all in this ship together. It's like the ark. We all in this together. We all trying to get to safety. So let us not be strangers and foreigners to one another. You know, let us communicate with each other because we are family. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants to be a tight-knit family, to be there for one another. Like the brother said, you know, receiving those phone calls and text messages and the cards that some of our sisters send, you know, that's encouraging to the family. That's encouraging, you know, to some of us. You know, when we're down and we feel like our hope is lost and I don't know what to do next. I don't know, but an encouraging word from one of my brothers and sisters might just get me through that day and carry me on throughout the rest of the journey. We never know what impact just a little kindness or a little sympathy or a little compassion or a little love. We just don't know what kind of impact that might have on somebody. Because sometimes we in falsetto mode, you know. We walk in like everything's all right. You know, on the outside, we looking good. You know, I'm smiling, but boy, I'm tore up inside. It's bad inside. You know, I got some feelings going on, boy. I don't know what to do with, you know. And just encouraging words from my brothers and sisters, somebody, you know, and that's why I use that phrase all the time, God is good, you know, because sometimes just letting people know that God is still there, he's still there for you, you know, he, you're not alone in your situation, you're not alone, you know, not only is God there for you, but I want to let you know I'm here with you too, I want to let you know that I'm by your side, what can I do to help, what can I do? And we ought to offer our service to one another in that manner. You know, let me put it like this. We ought to have genuine care and concern about each other, especially pertaining to the spiritual I ought to make sure that my brothers and sisters in Christ that I fellowship with and I worship with every day are spiritually well. I know that this is a job for us, the elders, to do that, to make sure the family is spiritually healthy, but we are our brothers' keepers. We all ought to make sure that everybody in this family are spiritually well. You know, this morning the message about humility was preached this morning by Seth, and I had a little brief Bible class and talked a little bit about humility. Sometimes we need to put our affairs aside to be concerned about others, especially in the spiritual matters. Especially in the spiritual matters. Together, we share the hope of better things to come. Together. We all have something better to look forward to when this life is over. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5, I want to read that real quick. The Bible said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." In other words, that living hope. The living, we live with the hope of knowing that we have a better place. Jesus, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might be there also. So we have that blessed assurance that when this life is over, we're going to be with the Lord himself throughout eternity. And can you imagine? I just want you to think about this for a second here. You know, can you imagine how God designed this earth for us to dwell on? And the Bible says that he did this in 6 days. But Jesus said, "Now I go to prepare a place for you." In other words, it's not going to be like here. I don't know what it's going to be like there, but I can imagine how wonderful and beautiful that it's going to be. And I don't think God is going to prepare something. Christ is going to prepare for something for us to get bored quickly and easily. I think that every moment that we're going to be there is going to be something exciting for us to enjoy. Can you imagine that? That is the hope that we live for. The hope of knowing that I don't have to deal with my sickness and my pains. I don't have to deal with the sinful nature of man anymore. That I will be in a perfect place where everything is going to be perfect. But there's no sickness and nothing, not even a dust mite will be there. It's going to be good. Can you imagine that? That is the hope we have, being a Christian. And we talked a little bit about the blessings. Now let's talk about responsibilities. Their responsibilities. One of the first responsibilities we have as children of God is to serve him and trust him. The preacher wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:13 after he talked about everything being vanity and all of that and his experiences, what he experienced as you know, serving and observing things with his wisdom and all of that. But he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." And that message should be for us today, right now. You know, to fear God, and that fear is respect him, and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's the whole duty of man right there. That's an awesome responsibility that we must take. In 1 Peter 2 and 9 describes us as God's own special people. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 gives us an indication of how God wants us to be. And I want to go there for a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And the scripture says, "Do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" You know? So God wants us to be set apart from the world. Remember, we already read that scripture that tells us if we want to be friends with the world, we become enemies of God. You know? So God say, don't be like them. We read scripture that says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, that renewing of the mind ought to help us to think that, hey, I am no longer worldly. I am a spiritual being. I am a child of God. And those things that I may have done in the past, oh, that guy is gone. I'm no longer him. I am a new creation in Christ. And I ought to should be living that way. Living like a Christian, living like a child of God. So God say, don't be unequally yoked with them. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? You know, I was talking with somebody the other day, I asked the question. I said, now, if you were the only sinner, you were the only Christian, you walked in a room full of sinners. And they were in there, they were having their little conversations, and they were, you know, carrying on as a lot of sinners do, you know. Would you hang around in there? Or would you relocate yourself and go somewhere else? Good question. If I could, you know, yes, I'd leave. I'd leave. It's a break room or something, they all in there carrying on, whatever. I'll go find another peaceful spot. If I have to sit alone by myself, you know, I'll do that because I don't want to be in the midst of the conversation. I don't want to be in the midst of the activity. Because if I remain, somebody's going to change somebody. Somebody's going to change. Either they're going to cause me to change, conform to the way they're acting, or I'm going down and I'm going to preach the gospel. And they're going to kick me out. Well, somebody's going to change. So, you know, those are questions that we have to ask ourselves, because God wants us to be separate and apart from the world. He wants us to give up all the worldly activities that set us apart from him. If anything that's going to separate us from God and from Christ, we need to refrain from those things. It could be conversation, it could be activities, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be whoever, whatever it takes to keep ourselves in tune with God. Anything that separates us from God, we need to try to eliminate that in our lives. And that's what God was saying to us when he in that scripture, you know, do not be unequally yoked. According to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, the world will think it's strange that we don't walk in the same way as them. You know, you're going to have people going to talk about you. Oh, you that Christian lady. You know, you that man holier than thou. You know, you that Jesus freak. Yes, I am. I'm proud of it, too. Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about him, you know. But the world is going to talk about it. You know, Jesus said, you know, to his disciples at one point, he said, now, if you were of the world would love his own. He said, but because I have called you out of the world will hate you, but believe that it hated me first, you know. So the world, you know, Satan controls the world. If Satan is going to do anything he can to separate us from God, he will use people, he will manipulate people, he will do whatever and however. He will, you know, try to manipulate our minds to thinking crazy stuff, you know, like he tried to do Jesus. Or if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He tried to manipulate his thinking, you know, so he'll work on us. You know, we're feeble-minded at times, you know. It's easy for us to get to us. But if we keep our mind on Jesus, it's not. Jesus said, he said this. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That resistance, because see, Jesus resisted him with the word of God. See, we stand on spiritual ground. The devil have no chance. When Christ went to the cross, he already gave us the victory. We have the victory over sin. We have the victory over death. We already have it. We just have to use what God has given us. And the Bible already told us that he's given us everything we need. So why do we doubt ourselves so much? Why do we doubt ourselves? Christian, why do we doubt? Jesus asked that question to us. He said, why did you doubt? You know, why did your mind change? Like Peter walking on the water, took his focus off of Jesus and began to sink. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? Sometimes we in our spiritual mode and we're feeling good spiritual, but then something comes up in our life and just, boy, just knocks us off balance. And boy, we put more attention on that problem than we do on Christ. But as Christians, we have to be strong. You know, Philippians 2:14 says that we should shine as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We must keep ourselves spiritually pure. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That means that we should dedicate ourselves to serving Christ in a righteous manner. Therefore, we must remain faithful. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, as I come to a close of my message today. But I think this is important passage of scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. And I'm going to read a few scriptures after. He said, For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and hath forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. How soon can we forget that we were saved, that Jesus died for us? How soon do we forget how special we are to God? How soon can we forget that we are children of God? How soon can we forget? I tell you, Satan make a way to make sure that we forget. He will cause some things to come up in your life that will turn your mind upside down and flip it over again to what you think is right. He's divisive. He's very skillful at what he does. So we ought to be very skillful as being Christians. Very skillful in being Christian. That means that we should study, learn, practice, all those things. All those things. Let your calling and election be sure. Examine ourselves daily to see if we are in the right position with God. Correct those things that are lacking. Strengthen those things that are present. Be good soldiers for the Lord, preaching the gospel, letting people know how wonderful and beautiful it is to be a Christian. Tell people about the love of God. Tell people about the peace in Christ. Feel that peace within our own self, that we can have that blessed assurance. So when we go out into the world, we talk to people in the world, we can talk with assurance. We know what we're saying. We know how we live. We know who we are. And proud of it. You know, there's a song we sing sometimes, Proud to Be an American. Well, I go around singing that song, Proud to Be a Christian. I'm proud to be a child of God. That ought to be a song that we ought to keep on our heart. You know, we want to raise and wave that flag around because we are Americans. But we ought to wave our heart around because we are Christians. Because we are Christians. Truly we are blessed to be a Christian. But being a Christian involves a life of service to Him. And it comes with blessings and great responsibility. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." For the faithful Christian, it will be the blessings of eternal life. If there is anyone tonight, and I can include myself in this, who need the blessing from God. And we all do. But there are some who may need the comfort of blessings from the brothers and sisters. There might be something you're going through right now. Maybe it's a medical issue, maybe it's bereavement, or maybe it's a spiritual issue. And you would like us, your brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray with you, to pray with you, to talk to God with you, then I would encourage you to do that tonight. Come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation.